Here's Andy Udman.
If you are a breast cancer survivor, raise your hands high above your head.
Can we take a step back? What is going on? We're missing something big.
Raising money has become the priority regardless of the consequences.
If people actually knew what was happening, they would be really pissed off.
We're living, we're human beings. We're not just a little pink ribbon.
It's almost like our disease is being used for people to profit. And that's not okay.
I wish they could also hear from all the women who have been through breast cancer and resent the effort to make it pretty and feminine and normal. It's not normal. It's horrible. It has to be stopped.
The first ribbon was salmon colored, made by a woman named Charlotte Haley. Estee Lauder came to her and said, "We love your ribbon and we want to make this a symbol of breast cancer." And Charlotte said, "No, that's about your bottom line."
They said, "Well, all we have to do if we want it is to change the ribbon
pink."
It is hypocrisy to use carcinogens in products and at the same time be raising money for a cure.
I think you get a gist of where we're going, so I need to say what I say every time. Pam Colleen is in studio. This is your captain speaking. Fasten your seatbelts. We are in for turbulence. I am still getting over, Pam Colleen, last week's show about Movember. And as we know, the guys, most of them, shaved off their mustaches last night, and they feel real good about having done a wonderful thing. So before we get to pink washing, which we're going to talk about, let's just reflect for just a moment on Movember. And what was it, a quarter million guys in Canada who raised all that money, including MP Ed Holder, who sent me an email yesterday saying you can still contribute. They raised millions for prostate cancer. Will it do one iota of good?
Well, I think if we look at the bottom line in terms of what Alan Castle's revealed to us, the outcomes here in North America are about the risk of developing breast cancer, that is about 2 in 1,000. And in countries that don't do screening or treatment for prostate cancer, it's the same outcome, 2 in 1,000.
Let's go through those numbers really, really quickly, and then we'll move to breast cancer. What are the numbers in terms of risk for prostate cancer?
2 in 1,000 men. Will develop prostate cancers.
Right.
And where women are concerned.
Now, I found this fascinating. Folks, try to wrap your mind around the figures that Pam Colleen is going to walk us through. The risk for a woman to get breast cancer years ago, and now with all this testing and all this screening, it's almost like they want to test every woman, although they have backed off a little for women in their 40s. So let's look at the rate, say, 50, 60 years ago, and the rates now, the risk of a woman getting breast cancer.
Okay, in the 1940s, it was 1 in 22, and today it's 1 in 7. So again, with all the testing, all the screening, all the treatment and so on, the risk factor, the risk of developing breast cancer is going up.
Are you saying we're losing the battle against breast cancer?
Well, you know, I mean, there are women where certain cancers, certain types of cancer, apparently there are some improvements. But when I talk to women who've been treated for breast cancer, they're very sick still, Andy. They're struggling with everything from fatigue to low libido. They're still not well.
Now, folks, we are not going to talk about what causes breast cancer so much and all the cancer issues, but we are going to talk about something called pink washing. What is pink washing?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at the history of front groups and how Edward Bernays, the father of propaganda, and how he basically developed the notion of using front groups to make consumers, to develop a feel-good sensation for corporations. And these front groups have been used for decades now as a sort of a medium, you know, a sort of a middleman to basically make consumers feel good about a cause or a product or whatever, and then it hides the fact that it's being sponsored by the corporations. And so last week we talked about prostate cancer and how, you know, four of the companies that sponsor the Prostate Cancer Canada are four giant drug companies that actually sell products for prostate cancer. They sell drugs for prostate
cancer. In other words, bottom line, they know that when it comes to cancer, prostate cancer for men in particular, breast cancer for women, that we're a soft touch for money. So then they scheme how to get that money into their till.
Mm-hmm. people think the money is actually going towards research when a very tiny amount is going towards research. And at that, and Dr. King will be talking to us about that, and she's the author of Pink Ribbons Incorporated.
Would you introduce her?
Yes. She's a professor from Queen's University, and she studies many, many different domains. She's a very, very well-read woman, and she's written lots and lots of material, including a book called Pink Ribbons Incorporated, Breast Cancer Culture and the Politics of Philanthropy. And I'm happy to say that this book has been turned into a new documentary that was just released at the Toronto International Film Festival, and it is expected to be released in 2012. So it's Dr. Samantha King from Queen's University.
Dr. King, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
I'm looking at your picture. You don't look like a stuffy, highbrow, well-read professor. You look like the soccer mom next door.
Well, the picture might be a little old, I have to warn you.
Well, it's your personality that comes out in your face. It's an explosive subject that we're getting into. We were just talking about pink washing, and that's the focus of everything you've been focused on recently. What is pink washing?
So pink washing is when a corporation sells a product with the promise that a percentage of the sale price will go to breast cancer research or education, but at the same time, those companies produce products that are linked to cancer or to other health issues. So we could think of the many cosmetics companies that are involved in pink ribbon fundraising, and among them companies that have parabens and phthalates in their products that are known carcinogens.
In other words, they're hypocrites.
Yes.
Now, but if you look at AstraZeneca is one of the sponsors for the breast cancer awareness in the United States, correct?
Yes.
And they also produce agricultural sprays that are linked to cancer.
That's right. AstraZeneca was, in fact, the founder of National Breast Cancer Awareness Month in the 1980s. And at that time, they were a part of the Imperial Chemical Company that produced pesticides that are known carcinogens. And this is not unusual in the world of pharmaceutical and cancer treatment for people to be selling the products that cause the illness and the cures or the treatments.
Okay, let's get right to the bottom line here. Name me a company that loves pink washing.
Well, we could look at Estee Lauder, Avon, Revlon, three of the leaders in pink washing in the breast cancer fundraising and awareness world, all of whom have refused to sign what's known as the Safe Cosmetics Pact, which says that you will not use toxins in your cosmetics.
I know when I hear a commercial on the radio, even here locally, and, Bob's hot used cars, and he says a certain percentage of the sale will go to fight breast cancer. And I just think, well, isn't that nice? What should I be thinking, Dr. King?
Well, I think that consumers need to think about a bigger question in a way, which is, are we really going to win the battle, to use the military language that we like to use around cancer, against breast cancer by buying stuff? Breast cancer is clearly a disease that is linked statistically to consumer lifestyles in the industrialized West. Is this the best way to approach it? If we want to do our part, my suggestion is that people donate directly to breast cancer organizations whose work they support, rather than filtering their money through corporations, when we often actually don't know, as Pam said, where that money goes, how much of it stays within the company, how much of it actually goes on to fund research, screening, or treatment.
But the general number, I mean, I've been reading numbers on some of these charities and so on, and really maybe 10%, if they're lucky, goes towards the actual research?
Yes, it really varies. And one of the things I've found in my research is that it's very hard to get good solid numbers on this business. And that's because most agreements between companies and breast cancer foundations are governed by secrecy clauses. So it's really, really hard to get that information. But you're right. A lot of the money tends to go to overhead. Most companies have a maximum donation of about $50,000. So once consumers have bought $50,000 worth of products, any money that they that remains from the sale of those pink ribbon goods will stay within the company. And then even after that, of course, it goes to the foundation, and the foundation itself has overhead costs.
Doctor, just hold that thought, because when we come back in just a moment, I want to ask you, let's be blunt. Let's talk man to man, if we could, woman to woman. Are we being scammed when these commercials touch our hearts and we reach for our wallets when we should be reaching for our gun? Just a turn of phrase. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. King right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
It's almost like our disease is being used for people to profit. And that's not okay.
I wish they could also hear from all the women who have been through breast cancer and resent the effort to make it pretty and feminine and normal. It's not normal. It's horrible. It has to be stopped.
The first ribbon was salmon colored, made by a woman named Charlotte Haley. Estee Lauder came to her and said, "We love your ribbon and we want to make this a symbol of breast cancer." And Charlotte said, "No, that's about your bottom line."
They said, "Well, all we have to do if we want it is to change the ribbon."
Pink.
It is hypocrisy to use carcinogens in products and at the same time be raising money for a cure.
Wow. Did you hear those clips? Estee Lauder?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Samantha King, can you just tell us the story about Estee Lauder and the clip we just heard?
The story of the pink ribbon?
Yes.
Yes. Well, it's a very revealing. So there was a 68-year-old woman, Charlotte Haley, who was making peach-colored ribbons in her dining room and asking people to sign petitions requesting that the federal government in the United States put more money into research on cancer prevention. And Estee Lauder and Self magazine were hoping to do their first Breast Cancer Awareness Month special issue. It was a joint venture between the two companies. They approached Charlotte Haley and asked her if they could use her ribbon. And she, in a moment of amazing foresight, said no, because she was worried that it would become commercialized. Little did we know, here we are 20 years later, and it's hard to find a company without a pink ribbon campaign.
Now, the documentary about your book that will be released next year, one reviewer online calls the movie indignant and subversive, and goes on to say that it's basically debunking the comfortable lies and corporate double talk that permeate the massive and thus far ineffectual campaign against the disease that claims nearly 60 lives each year in North America alone. These are some
60,000.
60,000, yeah. And so these are some very harsh words about the message in the movie.
Yeah, well, and this is something that I hear all the time when I tell people that I work on breast cancer. The dominant response is, "Oh, it's so great. You know, we're winning this battle. We've raised so much money. Things have really changed." And of course, that completely belies the reality. One of the things that pinkwashing has done, I think, is accomplish this idea through the very positive, optimistic, peppy kinds of campaigns through which they sell pink ribbon products, that breast cancer is no longer the problem it once was. And I think the filmmakers have done a really good job of showing from a variety of different angles why that isn't the case and why, in fact, women still have basically the same options when they get a diagnosis as they did 50 years ago.
643-1290, we welcome your response as we continue this conversation about pink washing. Dr. King, I want to make sure we don't generalize and give people the impression that no money goes to cancer research from any of these companies which invite us to buy their products, because a certain portion does go to cancer research. Does a certain portion go to cancer research, and does it do good, hard scientific research?
Absolutely. And there are two ways I would want to respond to that question. The first is that a lot of money has, in fact, been raised through pink ribbon marketing. We can't deny that. But as a percentage of all money spent on cancer research in Canada and in the United States, it represents a tiny, tiny fragment. The federal governments in both countries still fund the vast majority of cancer research. This is just a drop in the ocean, really. And actually, if it went away, it would not make a huge difference. But I realize that's controversial, but that's my my position.
Well, research is research. I mean, the bottom line is, are women better off with all of this fundraising for the Pink Ribbon?
Well, and that's the second point. If we continue to fund the same kinds of research we've been funding for the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years, we're not going to see real results. We spend very little money on research that focuses on the causes of cancer and on prevention. We actually also spend very little money on trying to understand how, or we've had very little success, I would say, in how cancer spread. And, of course, that's what ultimately kills people.
Dr. King, let me jump in. I just want to squeeze in a couple of points before we get to the bottom of the hour and the news update. Whenever we have Pam Colleen on, I'd love to do a survey sometime. How many people drive off the road listening to some of the claims that some of the guests that Pam Colleen has on, when they make these claims, what the reaction is in traffic? Who out there right now in South London on this beautiful morning might be driving off the road hearing what you're saying in the last few minutes about pinkwashing?
Well, I'm sure people who've put a lot of time and effort into raising money for breast cancer. I mean, I think there are hard questions that we have to ask ourselves about whether our good intentions are actually having the effects that we hope they are. And certainly there are cancer researchers who don't like what I have to say, but there are also cancer researchers who feel like the agenda has been skewed in certain directions and would like to see a shift. This is not a question of us versus them. It's a complicated field with lots of opinions, I think.
Because in some of those clips that I played off the top from the movie, there is incredible pain wrapped around not the issue of breast cancer, but the issue of women being used, as one of them said, we are not a pink ribbon. We are women. We are human. What is the level of pain out there about this pink washing issue?
Well, that was very surprising to me to discover the level of discomfort, alienation, exploitation that women with breast cancer and the few men that have breast cancer felt in the light of these campaigns. It's true that some people with breast cancer find them helpful, but many find them completely alienating and can't wait until October Breast Cancer Awareness Month is over. They count the days until they can avoid these constant reminders of their disease.
We have a news update coming up in just a moment. Here's my question for you when we come back, Dr. King. I see these commercials of the daddy and the little boy having cereal, and the little boy wants a cereal, and daddy hogs the cereal because it's so good for his heart. So buy this cereal, daddy, and you'll never have a heart attack. I want to ask you about the larger health issues, not just breast cancer, when we come back in just a moment here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
If you are a breast cancer survivor, raise your hand.
Can we take a step back? What is going on?
We're missing something big.
Raising money has become the priority regardless of the consequences.
If people actually knew what was happening, they would be really pissed off.
We're living. We're human beings. We're not just a little pink ribbon.
It's almost like our disease is being used for people to profit. And that's not okay.
I wish they could also hear from all the women who have been through breast cancer and resent the effort to make it pretty and feminine and normal. It's not normal. It's horrible. It has to be stopped.
If you have just joined us, we're talking not just about the pain of breast cancer, but the pain of how breast cancer is being used as a disease by corporations to boost their profits. And you heard in those painful, painful clips, especially the one clip, we're human beings. We're not pink ribbons. But it's amazing to me how many corporations out there have decided they can make a profit using these tags In conversation this morning with Pam Colleen and with author Dr. Samantha King. Pam, we were just during the break talking about Wendy Mesley's piece on the CBC's Marketplace a few years ago, which still haunts me.
Mm-hmm. Well, consumers are more likely to buy a product with more claims and health symbols and so on that are on there. And, of course, that does tie into the pink ribbon because they've associated this pink ribbon as this very feel-good type of tag.
I mean, I confess, when I see that heart and stroke, check, I'm not sure. I recognize a little swish mark. Mm-hmm.
And that's just a self-endorsement. That's there just because the companies have paid to have that health check on the label.
And Wendy Mesley revealed in that piece, mm-hmm. you know, it's not some independent scientific body that sits down and decides what some of these products, whether they warrant that tag, but companies pay to have that put on their product, which to me is just shameful.
That's right. That's right. Samantha, do you have anything to say about that type of consumer recognition with regards to these tags?
Well, I mean, as you say, it's highly problematic, and it makes it increasingly hard for consumers to have objective information about their health. And this is, it's the same thing that happens with the breast cancer campaigns. Even if the products aren't making a claim that they're somehow good for people who have breast cancer, I think there is this way in which you assume that something that has a pink ribbon on it can't be bad for you, when in fact what's happened is the company has simply paid the foundation for the privilege of using the pink ribbon and their name in their marketing.
Dr. King, Dr. Samantha King wrote the book, and then it led to a documentary called Pink Ribbons, Inc., and then the clips you heard are from that movie. Dr. King, tell me about the pain behind some of those clips. What is it about this pink washing that is so offends women?
Well, there are a couple of things. The women I've interviewed often talk about their experiences with awareness campaigns in particular. One woman told me a story about walking into a department store in Ontario and a retail assistant offering her a pink ribbon and saying, "Are you aware?" And her response was, "Of course I'm aware. I'm aware every time I sit through my chemotherapy and have these chemicals pulsing through my veins." So there's this assumption that people are not aware, that somehow the experiences of people who are sick get erased from this happy, peppy approach to pink ribbon marketing. But there's also the fact that it means it's increasingly hard for women who are feeling angry or hopeless or despairing at their experience, that they feel like they can't speak up in this culture that we've produced.
Okay, I want to ask Pam about something that she raised, and then it leads to a larger question. And Pam, you and I were just reflecting on Movember. Mm-hmm. Today's December the 1st. We've just wrapped up this big, very, very, very successful campaign, saturation media coverage, and thousands of guys in Canada grew the mustache, raised millions of dollars, and yet we had a show last week which suggested that
the outcomes are no better in countries that don't do screening and test and treatment for prostate cancer. There's the same outcomes. So, you know, there's a lot of questions that need to be asked, are hard questions that need
they
to be
are
asked.
Very yeah. hard questions, mm-hmm. And I wonder if some of that, I mean, does that shock you, Dr. King, what Pam is saying, that the outcomes in the countries where they don't have all the screening and testing for prostate cancer are just as good as here in North America, where we have all this screening and test. In other words, I'm saying, how much information can we trust in this whole area of disease, fighting disease and raising money for cures?
It's very tricky, and the same is true of actually of screening for cervical cancer and for breast cancer. So there's a whole slew of these tests that we've incorporated into our everyday health practices in Canada that that may actually, in some cases, be doing more harm than good. And it's very difficult to challenge those approaches. We tend to think that if we get screens, that we're being good citizens, right? We're doing what's right for health. That's what we're told. And there's a lot of money invested in that way of approaching health, unfortunately, which also makes it hard to change.
Now, a big name in behind the pink ribbon is Susan Komen and the Run for the Cure and so on, all of those types of names and events that are being touted out there. Can you talk about the fundraising that's been going on through those circles? It looks to me like $1.9 billion has been raised for fighting breast cancer through these organizations.
Well, certainly the FONS, what I call the FONS, the physical activity-based walks and runs that we see across North America have been very effective in raising money. It's an extremely popular way to get people out on the streets and organized around a cause. What I found in my research, though, is that, well, for one thing, there's so much competition among foundations for participants in these events that you see certain diseases, certain causes being squeezed out as those causes with more effective marketing campaigns win the battle for participants. So again, it seems to take us away from a focus on actually preventing disease, figuring out what's going on.
You make a very good, let me jump in. You make a very good point. You believe that heart disease, and I'm reading from some of the material that you produce, heart disease kills so many more women than breast cancer does, but there is a seemingly endless supply of pink ribbon products. Why is that? Let me bounce that question back to you.
Well, it's a good question. I would say two main reasons. In our culture, the breast is a highly valued cultural symbol. It symbolizes both sexuality and it symbolizes both, you know, motherhood and nurturing. The other thing, of course, is that rightly or wrongly, heart disease, lung, stroke, all of which kill more people every year, are associated with poor lifestyle choices in a way that breast cancer is no longer. It used to be, actually, but that's changed, and part as a result of this campaign.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to ask you, because Dr. King, my heart goes out to all those people who are listening who are going, what is she saying? I have poured my heart, blood, sweat, and tears into the pink ribbon campaigns. I go door to door collecting for cancer research. What is she saying? We just give up? We'll be back with that in just a moment here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
It's almost like our disease is being used for people to profit. And that's not okay.
I wish they could also hear from all the women who have been through breast cancer and resent the effort to make it pretty and feminine and normal. It's not normal. It's horrible. It has to be stopped.
The first ribbon was salmon colored, made by a woman named Charlotte Haley. Estee Lauder came to her and said, we love your ribbon and we want to make this a symbol of breast cancer. And Charlotte said, no, that's about your bottom line.
They said, well, all we have to do if we want it is to change the ribbon.
Pink.
It is hypocrisy to use carcinogens in products and at the same time be raising money for a cure.
Very, very disturbing information this morning about pink washing. Now, you're listening to this and you're saying, okay, Andy, give me an example. Give me an example in Canada of what you're talking about. Well, here's a Canadian example. In 2005, Yoplait ran a 69-day campaign where consumers could purchase specially produced yogurt cartons, and for every lid mailed back to Yoplait, the corporation would donate 10 cents. To the Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation. The consumer would have to buy and eat 3 cartons of yogurt a day just to raise $20. So we hear so much about giving to cancer research. We hear so little about what Pam, Colleen, and I were talking about during the break, that in some areas of the world, Pam, the cancer rates are dramatically lower than ours, and we never hear about them.
Well, it's very primitive cultures, of course, where they don't have access to modern foods, our highly processed industrialized food supply. In these cultures, you don't see chronic diseases. And this is validated by the World Health Organization, who in 2003 published a report basically saying that processed foods were the cause of chronic diseases like cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and even obesity.
Back to Dr. Samantha King. Dr. King, back to what I promised I was going to ask you, and that is this. Our listeners who are listening to all of this are asking, what does Dr. King want us to do? If she's suggesting that corporations have a very cynical agenda, and that is to use our passion for finding a cure for breast cancer, to use that to get money out of our pockets to buy their product, they can raise their profits and send a minuscule amount of money to actually fight cancer. So it sounds like a scam from top to bottom. How do we react, Dr. King?
You know, in all the interviews I've done with corporate executives who put breast cancer campaigns together, I don't actually get any sense that this is some big conspiracy. It's certainly tied to their bottom line, right? But they also think they're doing good, just as the consumer thinks they're doing good. And they're genuinely shocked when I ask some of the questions I ask about their campaign. So I would want to say that first. But I think that there are lots of good breast cancer organizations doing good work, funding excellent research. There's research that requires more funding, particularly on the preventative end. So this is not about asking people not to give money. It's about asking people to think more carefully about how they give money and to whom they give it.
Okay, how do you give it more carefully? In other words, you're suggesting we avoid certain decisions with respect to the money we are hoping is directed towards cancer research?
Yes, I just suggest not buying pink ribbon products and donating directly to breast cancer organizations. If people want to continue to buy pink ribbon products, read the small print and see what it says and make a decision for yourself. Does this seem like a generous amount of money, and can I tell where it's going? But as I said, I actually think we need a bigger change in the system and to question whether or not shopping and buying more stuff is actually an effective way to approach disease.
Okay, so the next time that we see pink washing, we see a corporation wrapping its product in the pink flag, we should react how?
Well, one thing is to ask the corporation why they're doing it and what they hope to accomplish, and you know that's one response. The other response is to not buy the product, to let them know why.
Are some people using the pink ribbon without paying some sort of licensing fee? I mean, are they just using it and not having any kind of surveillance over using it?
Oh, certainly I found products where there's a pink ribbon on the product and you actually look for the small print and there's no sense that there's money going anywhere. There was a breast cancer handgun that was released in the United States last year, which promised to give money to a breast cancer charity without specifying.
Dr. King, my jaw just hit the table. Can you just relate what you just said?
Yes, this is one of the what I call the limit cases in breast cancer marketing. A breast cancer handgun with a bubblegum pink grip that one could purchase with the promise that a percentage of the sale price would go to a breast cancer charity. I call it the saving lives by taking lives approach to breast cancer fundraising.
But AstraZeneca, too, with I mentioned it earlier, I mean, this is a company that promotes, sells products that are cancer-causing, and they're one of the biggest sponsors behind the pink ribbon.
Absolutely, and I think we have to be more concerned with those everyday, less shocking, less spectacular examples of companies that are selling toxic products that while also profiting from people becoming sick, getting screened and getting diagnosed with breast cancer.
While we're at it, because I'm still shaking my head, you're saying even guns now are being marketed using pink washing. What other products, pray tell, are using pink washing?
Well, the ones that, alongside the gun that I found most problematic, gasoline, Ultramar has big pink ribbons over its gas stations throughout the month of October. Cement trucks, airplanes. The list goes on. I mean, there's also, you know, fishing tackle, hammers, snowshoes. It's hard to find, as I said, a product that doesn't actually have a pink ribbon attached to it. And it may have absolutely nothing to do with health, nothing to do with women.
Pam Colleen is laughing, you should know. Why are you laughing, Pam?
Because I just can't get over. I mean, gasoline. I mean,
market gasoline by suggesting to people that a small portion of the money is going to go to.
Oh, and I mean, imagine the carcinogens in gasoline. It's crazy.
Oh, my word.
To you, which companies, let's make a little list here, which products, rather, do you find it most offensive to wrap in the pink flag, considering what the health effects of that product may be?
Well, I think gasoline, not only because of the health effects, but because, of course, the environmental degradation that goes alongside with that. I think that's pretty problematic. The Kentucky Fried Chicken campaign that we saw last year, which people, the public did react to. I think they began to see that there are real issues with this kind of marketing. So you sell a fast food product that actually contains carcinogens. There's a lawsuit in the state of California right now about a particular ingredient used in KFC products. And you make your bucket pink and you sell that to people with a promise that the money will go to the Komen Foundation.
Now, you talk about exploiting people's goodwill. I mean, people associated with this pink ribbon effort, this fundraising effort, have fantastic intentions behind their efforts. And you talk about their exploiting their goodwill.
Absolutely. And that's what makes this issue very difficult for people. I think that the breast cancer campaign has demonstrated how much the public wants to contribute to the improvement of health in our society and to a better outcome for people with breast cancer. And it's a real shame that it's taken the form that it has. But I think that that's also a positive thing, that maybe we can channel that energy and that desire to help in a different direction that would actually transform the breast cancer statistics and the experience of people with the disease.
Well, it is absolutely explosive and shocking information. Dr. Samantha King, for those who have joined us in midstream, in the middle of our conversation, just a word, if you would, about your book and about the documentary that came out of it.
Yes, so the book is Pink Ribbons, Inc., and it explores the culture of philanthropy around the disease and questions why, after 2 decades of raising money and awareness, so little has changed in terms of incidence or mortality rates with breast cancer.
And the documentary?
And the documentary is very closely based on the book. It has interviews with experts from across North America, researchers, fundraisers, activists, women with breast cancer, and it'll be released in theaters in Canada in the spring.
Now, are you scheduled to be at any of the release of the movie, whatever the initial release is?
Well, I was at TIFF, at the Toronto International Film Festival, where it was first released, and yes, I will be doing appearances at some of the premieres across Canada, though I'm not sure which yet.
Okay, Dr. Samantha King, very kind of you to join us. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, now I want to go back in the seconds that we have left to the figure that just stays with me, which I find absolutely shocking. The risk of a woman getting breast cancer 50 years ago, the risk now.
Well, 50 years ago, or in the 1940s, it was 1 in 22, and today it's 1 in 7. So just what she was saying towards the end of our interview there, of course, mortality rates aren't really changing, outcomes aren't really changing. So, you know, with all these efforts going on, we have to really, really ask some hard questions about all the billions of dollars that are going into breast cancer right now, and are we better off for it? And you know what? I don't think we are.
A 4-coupon ride, as it always is when Pam Colleen comes in. Okay, I'm going to take a deep breath before I move on to...